You're listening to CJSF Radio, Simon Fraser, 90.1 FM.
You are listening to CJSF 90.1 FM on your dial, 93.9 Cable FM in Burnaby. And you are listening to Future Talk with your host, Dr. Paul Tenery, professional engineer, professional futurist, and sometimes occasional sessional instructor of future studies at Simon Fraser University. And this is a weekly show that looks at future trends and issues and important items that affect your daily life and will be affecting your life into the future. Welcome to the show. We're continuing our look at the book Multipliers, How the Best Leaders Make Everyone Smarter by Liz Wiseman with Greg McKinnon and a foreword by Stephen Covey. Last show, we were looking at the nature of the talent magnet, and we're next going to look at the four practices of the talent magnet. Among the multipliers we studied in our research, we found four active practices that together catalyze and sustain the cycle of attraction. These talent magnets carry the following characteristics. One, they look for talent everywhere. Two, they find people's native genius. Three, they utilize their people to the fullest. And four, remove all blockers. Let's look at each of these to understand exactly what a talent magnet does to create genius in others. Number one, looking for talent everywhere. True talent magnets are always looking for new talent, and they look far beyond their own backyard. Multipliers cast a wide net and find talent in many settings in diverse forms, knowing that intelligence has many facets. First of all, appreciate all types of genius. In 1904, a test of intelligence that later evolved into what is now known as the IQ test was developed by French researcher Alfred Binet as a tool for assessing the learning progress of French school children. His assumption was that lower intelligence signaled a need for more and different teaching, not an inability to learn. This tool quickly became ubiquitous as unilateral determinant of intellectual horsepower. Much work has been done over the last two decades by cognitive psychologists around the world, offering additional methods for identifying and developing intelligence. Whether it is Harvard professor Howard Gardner's theory of multiple intelligences, Daniel Goldman's work on emotional intelligence, or Stanford professor Carl Dweck's work on the effect of mindsets on capabilities, the message is clear. IQ is a practical but highly limited measure of true intelligence in our species. We are simply smarter in more ways than can be measured through a simple IQ test. A talent magnet knows that genius comes in many forms. Some minds excel at quantitative analysis or verbal reasoning, capabilities measured through IQ, SAT, and other tests of traditional cognitive intelligence. Other minds offer creative genius, innovating through fresh thinking and bold ideas. Some minds are critical, spotting every problem or landmine lurking within a plan. The genius of some others is to find a way to tunnel around these landmines. Bill Campbell, a former CEO of Intuit, or Intuit, is one such leader who appreciates the diversity of talent requisite to build a successful company. This economics major and football coach at Columbia University is renowned for his ability to lead and guide Silicon Valley's elite technologists. And Bill reflects, quote, "Their minds can do something that mine can't. They have a genius that I don't," unquote. He communicates this respect for the intelligence of others through his actions. He readily admits that he doesn't think like they do, and he appreciates that they bring to the table. He listens intently to the ideas and advice of those who offer this perspective he doesn't have, and he asks people to teach him what he doesn't know. This rich appreciation for the genius of others is how this former football coach has become a personal advisor to the CEOs at Apple, Google, and many, many more. The next trait is ignore boundaries. In their quest to assemble the finest talent, talent magnets are blind to organizational boundaries. They see the multiple forms of intelligence that exist everywhere. Talent magnets live in a world without walls and without hierarchical or lateral restrictions. Instead, they see talent networks. You can often spot talent magnets inside organizations because they're the ones who ignore organizational charts. Organizational charts are handy for finding out who works for whom and who's in charge if something goes wrong. But the issues are of relative unimportance when you're searching for genius. As far as talent magnets are concerned, organizational charts are irrelevant. Why? Because everyone works for them, or at least every person whose genius they can uncover. The mind of the multiplier works like this. If I can find someone's genius, then I can put them to productive work. The idea is simple. Multipliers understand that people love to contribute their genius. If they put in the effort to figure out someone's genius, they've opened a pathway that the person can to contribute. They can utilize them. Multipliers aren't deterred if someone doesn't officially report to them on an organizational chart. These leaders see an unlimited talent pool that they can draw from. Everyone works for a multiplier. For this reason, you can often spot multipliers leading cross-functional projects and intercompany ventures. They may be in key staff roles, or they may also be at the top of the organizational chart. The common denominator is they look beyond boundaries for true talent. Zvi Schreibler, CEO of G.HO.ST, pronounced Ghost, is one such talent magnet. Zvi, the company's British-born Israeli chief executive, started Ghost with the ambition of providing users with a free web-based virtual computer that lets them access their desktop and files from any computer with an internet connection. His business strategy was to break down walls in the computing world. He called the company Ghost for Global Hosted Operating System because Ghost can go through walls. Zvi took a similar approach to finding talent he needed to build his company. Headquartered in Modin, Israel, Zvi could easily have built the company with the abundant supply of technical and business talent available in Israel. But he could see a rich supply of technically savvy talent in Palestine that became isolated by failed peace agreements. Zvi convinced his venture partner, Benchmark Capital, to make a risky move and support him in building a company that spanned the Israeli-Palestinian divide. The Palestinian office in Ramallah, West Bank, houses about 35 software developers and responsible for most of the research and programming. The Israeli team is smaller and works about 13 miles away in the Israeli town in Modin. The team works through video conferencing. When face-to-face meetings are necessary, colleagues gather at a rundown coffee shop on a desert road near Jericho, frequented by camels and Bedouin shepherds. This talent magnet not only looked beyond the fabricated borders of organizational structures to find the best talent to staff his company. The boundaries he broke through, the boundaries steep in cultural, political, and physical conflict, were patrolled by armed guards. Talent magnets look for talent everywhere and then study that talent to uncover and unlock real genius that lies within. Finding people's native genius. At the heart and at the head of a global function inside a multinational corporation, I spent a lot of time in cross-functional meetings and on task forces. It was almost inevitable that at some point in these meetings, when things would become murky, someone would hand me the whiteboard pen, point to the front of the room and say, "Liz, lead us through this." I'd really jump in and do my thing and hand back the pen at some point. After a while, I started to wonder why I almost never got to be a regular meeting attendee and sit in the back of the room and check email. I thought, why do I always get asked to lead these difficult meetings? Why am I always getting put in charge when it isn't even my job? After seeing this pattern repeated over many years at work and in other group settings, I realized that I wasn't being asked to be in charge per se. It was a particularly type of in charge. I could find myself in charge when a group needed a more facilitative leader and less of a boss. I vividly remember one of my colleagues trying to explain to me why I was always getting asked to lead these types of meetings. Ben explained, "It is because you can so easily frame the issue, synthesize what people are saying, and lay out a course of action." "What?" I stared at him blankly, trying to decipher what he was saying. It sounded like he was telling me that I was good at breathing. It didn't strike me as a particularly big deal or something someone might find difficult. It was as easy as breathing, at least for me. What my colleagues were teaching me was that I had a native ability, something that I did both easily and freely. That brings us to the next section. Look for what is native. Talent magnets know how to uncover and access native genius of others. By native genius, I mean something even more specific than a strength or a skill that might be highly rated on a 360-degree leadership assessment. A native genius is something that people do not only exceptionally well, but absolutely naturally. They do it easily, without extra effort, and freely, without condition. What people do easily and do without conscious effort. They do it better than anything else they do, but they don't need to apply extraordinary effort to the task. They get results that are head and shoulders above others, but they do it without even breaking a sweat. What people do freely, they do without condition. They don't need to be paid or rewarded. They often don't need even to be asked. It is something that gives them inherent satisfaction. They offer their capabilities voluntarily, even ardently. It is effortless, and they stand ready and willing to contribute, whether it is a formal job requirement or not. Finding someone's native genius is the key to unlocking discretionary effort. It propels people to go beyond what is required and offer their full intelligence. Finding people's genius begins by carefully observing them in action, looking for spikes of authentic enthusiasm and natural flows of energy. As you watch someone in action, ask these questions. What do they do better than anything else they do? What do they do better than the people around them? What do they do without effort? What do they do without being asked? What do they do readily without being paid? That leads us to the next section. Label it. Native genius can be so instinctive for people that they may not even understand their own capabilities. Perhaps you've heard the phrase, "fish discover water last." But if people simply aren't aware of their genius, they're not in a position to deliberately utilize it. By telling people what you see, you can raise their awareness and confidence, allowing them to provide their capability more fully. Players for Larry Jelwicks. head coach of the almost unbeatable Highland High School rugby team, often report that he got more out of them than any other coach. Consider one specific player. Let's call him John. Before working with Larry, John saw himself as a good athlete, but not a great one. But Larry pointed out something that changed his view of himself. John recalled, Larry commented publicly about my speed. John was surprised when the coach started talking in front of other guys about how fast he was. He continued, I thought I had good speed, but not great speed. But because Larry singled it out, it inspired me to develop a distinct self-concept. I was fast. And every time I found myself in a situation where speed was required, I remembered this. And I pushed myself beyond my limits. Most limits that I'd artificially imposed on myself. John not only became fast, he became really fast. By labeling his genius for him, Larry unlocked this ability for John. Like John, people's first reaction to hearing someone describe a genius of theirs can often be bemusement. You know you've hit a genius nerve when you say, really? Can't everyone do this? Or, but this is no big deal. Finding people native's genius and labeling it is a direct approach to drawing more intelligence from them.
You are listening to CJSF, 90.1 FM on your dial, 93.9 Cable FM in Burnaby, and you are listening to Future Talk with your host, Dr. Paul Tenary, Instructor of Future Studies at Simon Fraser University. We're now going to take a short break and listen to a very important public service announcement.
With thousands of homeless animals entering SPCA shelters each year, pet overpopulation is a serious problem in BC, but it's one you can help prevent. Spay or neuter your companion animal today. From our perspective, every homeless animal on our streets or in our shelters is one too many. For more information on spaying and neutering initiatives, visit the BC SPCA website at www.spca.bc.ca.
Welcome back. You're listening to CJSF, 90.1 FM, 93.9 Cable FM in Burnaby. And you are listening to Future Talk with your host, Dr. Paul Tenary, professional futurist.
Welcome back. We're looking at the book Multipliers, How the Best Leaders Make Everyone Smarter by Liz Wiseman, with a foreword by Stephen Covey. Section 3 of the chapter, The Talent Magnet. Utilize people at their fullest. Once a talent magnet has uncovered the native genius of others, he or she looks for opportunities that demand that capability. Some of these are obvious, others require a fresh look at the business or the organization. Once they've engaged the person's true genius, they shine a spotlight eye on them and people can see their genius in action. Connecting people with opportunities. Peter Merrill was a college student hired in a $9 an hour part-time position as a frontline customer service representative for a professional coaching firm. He took more calls than the average rep and had an almost perfect record of saving customers who called in ready to cancel out of their programs. What would a typical manager do with someone like Peter? Make sure he was happy? Perhaps offer him a full-time job upon graduation? Such a course of action would cement his current level of contribution within the firm and position him in time for a serious promotion. But Ann Kalsa, Peter's manager's manager, wasn't happy with that posture. She dug a little deeper. Peter appeared good at saving customers, but why? It turned out to be what Ann called a, quote, listening spike, unquote, by which she meant he listened to customers so sincerely and so thoughtfully that he would volunteer to give the company another chance. But her curiosity continued. Why was he so good at listening to people? It turned out that he had a particular aptitude and interest in helping people break through to the next level of their lives and careers. She tested her hypothesis with people who worked with Peter, and they agreed. They said that his conversation always tilted in that direction, even on lunch breaks. The question for Anne became where to best utilize Peter's unique talents. She knew he could do good work in customer service. She gave him rein to make rapid changes there. But she also consciously identified several roles within the company where he could operate at a higher point of contribution. Within 3 weeks of being hired in customer service at Anne's request, Peter was transferred to the coaching department to work with the company's toughest clients. In that role, he earned more and more and more and more contributed, and the more he achieved, amazingly, a zero cancellation rate. But Anne kept tabs on Peter, trying to figure out what opportunities would further increase Peter's personal net worth while providing significantly more value to the organization. She cracked the code when she mentioned to Peter that he might want to set up a product line based on the ideas he had developed in his coaching work. He went from being a strong individual contributor to a successful leader within the company. 12 months from the time he was hired as a part-time customer service representative, Peter launched the highest margin product in the company, adding $2 million in annual revenue to the company. The difference is more than a tenfold increase in value from the same employee. This art of connecting people's genius to opportunities that allow them to be used at their highest point of contribution is a natural and deliberate management approach for Anne. She doesn't need to take her team to off-site meetings to analyze their different personality types. Instead, she carefully watches people until she has an idea of what they do effortlessly and what area they're naturally drawn to. When she has an ongoing conversation with herself about where this person's aptitude could benefit this company. Could there be people in your customer service department who would produce $1 million in value if they were simply unleashed on the right opportunity within your organization? Are there people on your team who are being blocked from working at a higher point of contribution? Shine a spotlight. Each summer in the Sierra Mountains of California, roughly 75 teenage girls eagerly gather for an annual girls' camp, a week of fun, adventure, and camaraderie that often serves as a watershed event in their young lives. The camp is run entirely on the volunteer efforts of 60 leaders. For the last 6 years, Marguerite Hancock has served, also as a volunteer, as the camp director at the helm of this incredible group of youth and leaders. Marguerite works as a Stanford University research director and teacher and is smart, accomplished, and extraordinarily capable. She is a strong leader with strong ideas of her own. One of her assistant directors said, "Marguerite is so capable, she could do virtually any aspect of the girls' camp herself." But what is interesting about Marguerite isn't that she could, it is that she doesn't. Instead, she leads like a multiplier, invoking brilliance and dedication in the other 59 leaders who make up this camp a reality. Marguerite begins by building a dream team, carefully recruited for each person's individual strengths. One of the assistant directors said Marguerite studies people. She watches them until she figures out what they're great at. She chose her assistant directors not only for their strengths, but because we each had strengths in areas where she was weak. She would find a place where each person's strengths will shine. For some, it is working with the girls one-on-one. For another, it is managing the sports program. For another, it is leading the nightly campfire. But each role is carefully cast to draw upon the unique talents of every person in the team. Marguerite then makes it clear to each person why she has been selected for that role. She not only notices their talent, she labels it for them. One camp leader said, "She tells me the talent she sees in me and why it matters. She tells me why girls' camp is better because of me and my work." But Margarita doesn't stop there. She lets everyone else know it too. It is typical for her to introduce someone to the group by saying, quote, "This is Jennifer. She's a creative genius. And we are so fortunate to have her leading our art program," unquote. With the cast of talent assembled, Margarita then goes to the back of the room. She takes control of the spotlight and begins shining it on the others. It is effusive with praise, but it is never empty. Her praise of others' work is specific and it is public. The other leaders at camp can see the direct link between her work and the success of a camp. A camp leader said, "She not only tells you that you are doing a great job, but she tells you why it matters to these girls. I know my work is appreciated." Margarita finds other people's genius and then shines a spotlight on it for everyone to see their talent in action. What is the result? A character-building, life-changing experience for 75 young women, but also a deeply rewarding, growing experience for the 59 leaders who serve along with Margarita. Number 4, remove the blockers. Talent magnets are attractors and growers of talent and intelligence, leaders who serve as multipliers, providing both the space and the resources to yield this growth. But talent magnets go beyond just giving people resources. They remove the impediments, which quite often means removing people or blocking and impeding the growth of others. In almost every organization, there are people who overrun others, consuming the resources needed to fuel the growth of people around them. Like weeds in a garden bed, they choke the development of the intelligence around them. Get rid of prima donnas. Bloom Energy, located in the heart of Silicon Valley, has developed a fuel cell system that produces clean, reliable, and affordable energy. As the venture capital firm Klein, Perkins, Caulfield, and Byers' first green tech venture, Bloom Energy has become a leader in their industry. Leading Bloom Energy is K.R. Sridhar, renowned aerospace and environmental scientist and an energy thought leader. When K.R. Sridhar started Bloom Energy, he began with what he calls gene pool engineering. K.R. explains, "A players attract other A players. Their smarts and passion make other smart, passionate people want to work here. So your first 50 employees are the most important and the hardest." When Bloom Energy needed to hire their first 50 employees, there was no established green tech industry at the time. So KR broke down each technology that would require and build their energy generators and identified the leading company in this technology. He then researched and found the person inside the company that the company would want to lose. He reached out to these people, explained the bold challenge Bloom Energy was undertaking, and recruited them to join the company. He engineered a gene pool of elite technical talent who are the best at their respective fields. He now had the talent he needed, and the work of building a team that would deliver an integrated energy technology began. He established one rule: no prima donnas, leave your ego at the door and work as a team. Within this elite team, one technologist was particularly indispensable. Stefan, an outstanding scientist, was the world expert in the technology that was the linchpin in the solution. As the team worked, it became clear that Stefan couldn't collaborate and had become entrenched in his position about the technical direction that the company should pursue. Tensions mounted in the team because the company had just committed to an important beta release in 18 months. KR pulled Stefan into the office and explained the situation, but Stefan wouldn't back down. Knowing how essential he was to the technical viability of the venture, he made it clear to KR it was either him or the team. KR explained the options, but Stefan's ego wouldn't allow him to let go of the issue. So in the next show, we're going to be looking at how very, very good talent magnets would handle this situation of Stefan and his ego. So we're going to find out how to handle it in our next show. So please stay tuned.
You have been listening to Future Talk on CJSF